WWE, the custody of a child will be determined in a match.
Oh, I knew he was gonna do that. Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, Hollywood blonde, but my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni. Get a horse of time, fool.
Put that cigarette out.
Will you stop?
What's up, Drunk Marks? Welcome to another episode of 205 Jive. I am your designated host, Adam. We have our wrestling fan drinkers with us, as always, today.
This is Eddie. Woozle wuzzle.
And this is Scott. Drinking is my business, and business is good.
And what business are we keeping in business today?
I'm... Just went and got another can of White Claw. This is, I guess Michelle brought over a variety pack. This is the Ruby Grapefruit. Sorry, you guys, if you can't tell, I'm a little drunk. Ruby Grapefruit.
It tends to happen after many episodes consecutively.
Yeah. Ruby Riot Grapefruit.
Excellent. Thank you. And I am doing a White Claw Lime.
And I'm doing Iron Brew Orange Soda, tastes like bubblegum. Along with pigs in a blanket.
They are delicious, by the way.
Oh, yes. So today is going to be about our specific three part builds of the particular one. Of course, we definitely want to hear about your opinions about it and what you would do in this particular theme. Who are the four wrestlers that you would put on your Mount Rushmore? I think the agreed upon rule was that it has to be four, but to each of our own, it could be whatever the parameters may be as to who was first, who was the best, who had the biggest impact, our individual parameters. A lot of you, you're probably not going to agree with us on some of them, and some of these you will. But again, you have a different impact from different wrestlers, and you would assemble your own Mount Rushmore. We definitely want to hear those. But for this episode, we have our three. Who wants to be the first to go over theirs?
I want to go last.
Okay.
That's fair.
Right. That's fine. I will go first. So
sounds good.
I built my Mount Rushmore based on guys that have kept the wrestling business going and moving forward over the last 50 plus years. So my Mount Rushmore consists of Bruno Sammartino, the immortal Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Vince McMahon. Bruno, basically because he was from the 60s to, well, part into the 80s, was a mainstay in the WWF, multiple title reigns spanning many years. Hulk Hogan goes without saying, Hulkamania, wrestling doesn't move forward in the 80s without the birth of Hulkamania and the genius of Vince McMahon. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think, along with the Attitude Era, was definitely a big part of it. But Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think, single-handedly saved the WWF from going under and getting overtaken by WCW. What a weird world we would live in if WCW had actually won that war.
Ew.
It's weird to think about, right? But without the rise, the ascension of Stone Cold Steve Austin and his popularity, I don't think WWF survives that storm that WCW was bringing on. And finally, Vince McMahon. Despite what you think about Vince back then or current day, whatever practices he might have used to move the wrestling business into the vision that he saw, namely pay-per-view, television deals, making it a publicly traded company, all of these things were in his mind, and he just needed to put it into motion. So whatever you think about what he did and how he got to where he is currently, you can't deny his genius. Call him a madman, that's fine. But when he bought the company from his dad, he took wrestling to where it is today. Without his vision, who knows what the state of wrestling is. He took it from a territory-driven system into a global phenomenon. And they have been the clear number one since they knocked WCW out of commission in 2000. So those four guys are my Mount Rushmore, strictly based on guys that have kept the business running and at a high level the past 50 years.
Okay, you know what? I would like to weigh in on your Mount Rushmore.
Sure. Yeah, that's where this gets good.
Right. Hogan, I have nothing. Honestly, I have nothing to say because he's going to be on mine. Spoiler. Right. Okay. Like, he's just like, he should be on everyone's. Like, if you have Mount Rushmore, Hogan's got to be on it.
Unless you have a High Flyers Mount Rushmore.
Well, I mean, if you have some silly ass, and we'll get into this when we get to mine, but that's where you get into a whole thing about
the definition of
Mount Rushmore. Right. I'll talk about that soon. But I really honestly don't have anything to say about Hogan. Bruno, I don't think I would have thought of him, but it would have been an oversight on my part. Bruno was the, I think a thing, one of the things a lot of people don't realize about Bruno is that he was one of the, not the first, but like the first in a long time guys to become like a nationally recognized star. Yes. Right. Because you had Gorgeous George in the 50s. I want to say he started in the late 40s, but into the 50s anyway. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the guys who, like, I mean, he would go, like, on primetime TV on the networks.
Right.
And wrestle. And, like, my grandparents went and saw Gorgeous George. My grandma loved him. And he was that level. Bruno was kind of, like, the next guy to come along. And there were a few people before Gorgeous George, like Pat O'Connor or whoever the fuck.
Right.
But Bruno was sort of that guy, and I don't think he got a lot of national TV exposure, but he did get national media attention.
Right.
And that was because he was based out of New York, right? Like, the New York Times would report on him.
Yes.
And the magazines, PWI, was based out of New York, so they would go to the New York shows.
Right.
So Bruno was, like, kind of, he was sort of like, I don't know, it's even hard to compare him to someone now, but, like, maybe back 25 years ago, maybe the Sandman wasn't going to, not to compare those two, but maybe the Sandman wasn't going to wrestle in your area, but you didn't have to be in your, you didn't have to be in his area to know who he was because of the magazines.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because this is like way, 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 way preceding the internet.
Yes, like, exactly.
Now you're some indie chump working at, you know, for Kirk White in Union City.
Right.
And people are going to know about you because of the internet. This is like way before that. So Bruno, it was very much a right place, right time.
Oh, for
and it
sure.
was also very much a, well, I know Vince's dad, so one of the things I've heard about that was Vince Sr. would, part of why he would pick these ethnic, quote unquote, guys to be like the big shots was because the main, like the mainstream newspapers, besides Bruno, didn't want to report on wrestling because they were like, oh, it's wrestling, it's stupid. But the other language newspapers would report on, right? So like the Italian newspaper from Pittsburgh would report on Bruno, which would get a lot of circulation, or the Polish newspaper would report on Putski.
Yes. Right? And Pedro Morales was a big name Pedro, back
so
then
the
too.
Spanish language newspapers would report on them. So he could get a lot of, I guess you would call it like semi-mainstream press. Like it wasn't the New York Times or the Post or anything like that. But it would be like the largest circulated newspaper in these languages. So that's, Bruno's like, he's like on a level other. At the time, he was untouchable. Nobody was even close to that guy.
And he was a big deal for a long time.
He carried that company on his back for.
He really did. Literally.
Like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he literally carried on his back to the point where he broke his neck.
Yes.
In a match, and then still came back too soon and wrestled. So,
right.
Yeah, for that reason, he is absolutely 100. Now, don't get me wrong. I couldn't name many Bruno Sammartino matches aside from the ones that everybody else knows.
Right.
When I started watching wrestling in 85, Bruno was almost an attraction. Right. I remember his son had come in, David Sammartino, to wrestle at WrestleMania 1. Couldn't cut the mustard.
Right.
Bruno stuck around as a commentator, the occasional wrestler. I'm not going to claim to know that I've seen a ton of Bruno matches or whatever, but based on what he did for the WWWF and WWF, he's definitely earned a spot on my Mount Rushmore.
Right. For me, he was almost more of an announcer with like a goofy accent.
Yes.
You know, like that's what I remember him for most.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much personality because you'd get Jesse Ventura and you're like, oh, this guy's way better. But like as a kid, what do you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Adam, you're up.
All right. I'm sure I'm going to turn some heads on this one. I, too, also have Hulk Hogan on my Mount Rushmore.
Well, what are your parameters for your Mount Rushmore?
Oh, right. All right, so I have a superstar or superstar that is powerful or like what I believe is the strong superstar. I have a superstar that is bigger than wrestling.
I have a superstar that can change the game or change the face, and you could still keep your particular industry going. I also have one that shows what, or the complete package of everything that that wrestling can be, and showing that everybody definitely has a chance with the hard work going into it.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan is my powerful superstar that applies. My superstar that is that would also be like strong in the ring and bigger outside the ring. So the overall entertainment factor is embodied in The Rock.
Can't argue with that.
Yep. The superstar that I have that can change the game while still keeping the industry going would be Stone Cold Steve Austin. The superstar that I have that shows everything that wrestling can be, and that a hard worker, or that any hard worker can be a wrestler, I'm going to go with Lita.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Very good.
I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, all right. So, yeah, The Rock, just his rise to stardom with, like, within the company, and then just everything that he has become outside of it while still holding on to his roots. I think that shows that you could be a great wrestler in the ring and a better person off the ring. That should be the goal with any public platform that you have. And I think he has very much embodied that and just embraced that in so many ways. Austin with, yeah, starting with King of the Ring, I would say like a real 180 into what became the Attitude Era, and just like changing the game of instead of like just or making the gimmick of a badass wrestler.
Really the first anti-hero.
Yeah.
Like he was kind of the first guy that was supposed to be a bad guy that the fans were supposed to boo, but because he was so charismatic and had a great gimmick, the fans just cheered him. So he became an anti-hero.
Yeah. In that case, I would say he would be the game changer while still keeping WWF and WWE going, and especially someone who's going to be referred to no matter how many wrestling platforms there are outside of WWE. I mean, Austin is going to be an influence of so many that are currently in the ring, and that that will be in the future. I would to choose Lita over the ones that I was arguing with was Lita, Trish, or Becky Lynch. That one was the hard one because I absolutely love that there is a push to drop the term women's wrestlers and just identify them as wrestlers. I mean, that's ideally to perform in the company. I think that's what they should be doing. Now, yes, there was definitely an era where women's wrestlers were acting as managers or escorting to the ring or... Okay, White Claw.
Go ahead.
You got that in?
Yeah. All
right. And then just there to do backstage promos.
I only meant Amy Weber. Sorry.
I think Lita was one of those first ones that she had the beauty and she had the wrestling ability. The unique one with her is that she was an aerial performer as well as strong in the ring. So with those put together, I think she's an embodiment of what or how everyone with hard work and discipline and concentrated can do well and perform well in the industry. Now, obviously, there are going to be gimmicks and like manager requests to follow certain projects in the ring or gimmicks pretty much covers it. And like some are going to be okay, and some others will attach to, but just on the sake of women's wrestlers, which, by the way, is killing right now and is absolutely also a main reason why I'm still watching. I mean, that she's the start of or like a lot of the wrestlers that are there now are there because of Lita, because of Trish. And
right. Yeah.
And so I believe that kind of impact definitely deserves a recognition on my map.
That's a good one. I would not have thought of that.
I can't argue with it.
Yeah, I can't argue with it, but like that was good because that came out of nowhere for me. Like I never would have thought of that. So okay, I'll give you mine, but I want to start this off by saying Mount Rushmore is stupid. Okay,
The actual Mount Rushmore is stupid.
Well, they didn't
just the number of four.
Well, Lincoln's head is still like kind of like Max Headroom-y, right? Like it's not done.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess it's stupid.
You could only do so much with a humongous rock.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone else's head looks really good, but his head's—I don't know. No Mount. I mean, the actual Mount Rushmore is fine. Like, I would love to go to whichever Dakota it's in, and see it. But no, the concept of a wrestling—it's constant. Like every day on Twitter, who's on your Mount Rushmore? Blah 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 blah. And I've always thought it's kind of a silly. So this is a dumb podcast. I've always thought it's kind of a silly concept because it always turns into, oh, but not the Mount Rushmore of who are the biggest stars, but the Mount Rushmore of who's the best in the ring, or the Mount Rushmore of who's does the best promo, or this and that. And like you and I were talking, Scott, earlier about, there's one Mount Rushmore. Like there's not, they're like the four best presidents. There's not like the four best Democrat presidents, or the four best Republican presidents, or the four best presidents from the 1800s. Like, there's four. We picked four, and we called it good. We didn't set aside any kind of qualifications. It was just, it is what it is.
But also, it was incredibly short-sighted. Like, there's never going to be four greater presidents than this. Put them up on the rock.
Well, no, but you asked me that earlier.
More have had an impact since these presidents.
Well, no, you asked me that earlier, like, well, do you think there's been anyone better? And then I was like, well,
not to take it into a political direction.
No, but then I was like, I don't know who's on it. So I actually don't have an answer for that because I don't know exactly who's on it.
Well, by them doing it the year that they did it, they capped themselves. Like, there could never be another face up there, and that person could have been the greatest president in the history of the United States. But they're not going to be on Mount Rushmore because they weren't born.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, why can't you add a fifth one? Like, it's an entire mountain.
Well, sure. No, they totally could.
But anyway, the concept of a wrestling Mount Rushmore to me is sort of silly. Because it's always like, wrestling's not baseball, right? Like, you can pick who's the best baseball player of all time, or the best, you know, something like that. Like, there are stats that are hard stats. That, like, Ricky Henderson's the best base stealer of all time, right?
Okay, right, but then
Babe Ruth's the best.
Pitchers. You've got hitters.
Right, but
I mean, base stealers.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
relievers.
Right, like, but it's something like that. Like Babe Ruth's the best hitter of all time, right?
Yeah.
But well, that's it.
I mean, even that's arguable, but you could make four faces up there.
Well, okay, he's the best home run hitter of all time, right?
No, that would be Hank Aaron.
No, because Babe Ruth, it took Hank Aaron, I believe, like twice as many at-bats to beat Babe Ruth's record.
He still did.
No, but I mean, he had twice as many shots to do it.
Well, actually, Barry Bonds.
Right, Bonds had like twice as many at-bats as Hank Aaron did.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you like were to go to like at bats, home runs, and averaged it out. Like, no, Babe Ruth's still the best.
Steroids are awesome.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Anyway, so
but what are the what's the parameter for being up on the mountain? Right, there's so many different directions you could take it. Like you mentioned, like
that's what I'm saying.
Flyers, mat technicians,
right.
Overall so, wrestlers, Mr. WrestleMania.
So for me, like, I'm just gonna say top guys. Period. Right, and by top guys, I'm saying guys that made money, guys that people know who the fuck they are.
Okay.
That's it. So, Shawn Michaels, to me, is the greatest wrestler of all time, right? He's my favorite of all time. Mm-hmm. He's not making my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Ricky Steamboat is mine. He didn't make mine either.
Right. So, I'm saying Hogan. Of course. Right? And I dare anyone to argue with that, unless you're like, oh, I'm building a Mount Rushmore of work rate. Hogan, Rock, Stone Cold. Because, I mean, those are the top three. And I'm probably going to say, like, my number four is really tough. I think I'm going to say Randy Savage. And the reason I'm saying that is because still on, like, a semi-regular basis, if I just happen to... So I drive a truck at work, right? And I have like a lot of wrestling shit. I have my Eddie Guerrero fuzzy dice in the mirror. I have an Intercontinental title on the dashboard.
Some Funko Pops.
I have my Funko Pops up on the backup monitor. And people regularly come up to me and see it. And like a lot of people have been like, hey, man, is that like a legit title belt? And I'll be like, do I look like I've ever fucking won any kind of championship? But when wrestling comes up, Randy Savage comes up. Like, everybody who's even like slightly aware of wrestling is like people on the periphery of wrestling, like no Macho Man, you know?
You know what the greatest part about Macho Man is?
Everything. Slim Jims.
Well, aside from all of those, is that Vince didn't see him as a performer anymore and stuck him behind a microphone. Randy Savage gambled on himself.
Yeah, and won.
And won. Yeah. He left WWF, went to WCW, and had maybe not as strong of a career, but had some of the best matches of his career. His matches with Diamond Dallas Page were incredible. He reinvented himself.
Yeah.
He showed WWF, you made a mistake.
Right.
You cashed in my chips too soon, and I wasn't ready to cash in yet. You cashed them in for me. And he went to WCW as almost kind of a middle finger, like...
And he made a lot of money.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He got paid.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Good move. Yeah. Yeah, Macho Man is that guy. He's kind of like everybody, like people I work with or whoever who don't watch wrestling know Macho Man. Part of it is the Slim Jim commercials, to be fair.
Well, sure.
But a lot of people just like, even if you saw wrestling one time 25 years ago when you were 8 years old and you saw Macho Man, he left that kind of an impression on you.
Sure.
You know, and there are a couple guys like Ultimate Warrior is like, he might be like number five. As much as I fucking dislike Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, but he didn't have the longevity. That's the knock on him is he was a really a stop-and-go type character. Well, he had the run, but then everything after that was so sporadic and stop-and-go and stop-and-go.
Right, well, he was like very unprofessional. Also, he was a one-trick pony, you know?
Kind
of,
sort
of. Yeah, he was one of those guys. He could do one thing fairly well, and that was it. But Macho Man was fucking great. Like, everybody knows Macho Man. Like, he's like... They're a handful of guys. I mean, even like Cena. I could actually make an argument that Cena should be number four.
Sure. Undertaker as well.
But just because Cena's still out there, you know what I mean? Like Cena's still kind of, he's still active. He's like not actually retired. And now he's in the Fast and Furious movie. So he's still kind of putting himself out there. So he's still well known. But Macho Man's like long dead.
Right.
And long, long retired. But people still talk about the Macho Man. So I'm saying Hogan, Stone Cold, Rock, Macho Man.
And, you know, going back to my Mount Rushmore, I had Vince on there. I don't want to just look at Vince, the guy that built WWF after he bought it from his father.
Right.
During the Bobby Heenan episode, we talked about what a performer Bobby Heenan was.
Yeah.
As an all-around performer, you could really say the same thing about Vince. Not to the level not to the level as entertaining as Bobby Heenan was, but did the same shit. But had
the ability to do it all.
Like, right, and was probably I wouldn't say he's a better worker in the ring. He was kind of stiff.
He was shitty.
He wouldn't do anything that he wouldn't ask his talent to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? If he wanted mankind, agree. He didn't jump off the top of a cell, but he fell off the side of a cage through a table.
So when he was the heel, or even now when he comes back, his promos are as good as anyone's.
Yes. Right?
He could show up tomorrow, and he can cut a promo that'll be the best promo of the year.
And pop a rating.
Right. Exactly. As a wrestler,
he was stiff.
He was, but he wasn't only stiff. He was like awkward. Like he's not an athlete. Yes. Like he's a big body guy.
His match against HBK at 22 is a prime example of that.
Just everything stiff and awkward. Everything he did looked awkward.
Yes.
So like he was not a Heenan worker on that level.
But he still bled like a madman.
But he would get in there. He would get in there and work. He would work as hard as anyone.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
And I've actually always thought he was underrated as a commentator.
Oh, I agree.
He used to get a little carried away with the yelling and, oh, and that's it. Oh, no, it's only a two.
The 1, 2, 3? Oh, it's only two.
Yeah. He'd get a little... He was a little over the top.
Yeah.
But he was good. I mean, like, I could tell you, you know what? If he were on any of the shows now, he'd probably be the best announcer.
I can't argue with that.
Right? Maybe besides Moro. Yep.
I enjoy his commentary. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wouldn't put up there with Gorilla and Bobby or even Gorilla and Ventura.
Right, but he's better than fucking Todd Phillips.
Way better.
He's better than that geek with the fucking glasses.
Yeah, way better than Saxton.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah. He would slack Sapson with his dick. And I would laugh. He's better than... who else is there?
He's better than Corey Graves. He's better than Booker T. He's better than pretty much any of those guys. More Ronaldo even, too. I think Vince is very entertaining.
He was great. Yeah,
he really was. So as an all-around performer, I wouldn't put him on the level of Bobby Heenan, but he's definitely like two or three. Skills. As a guy that can really do it all.
Yeah.
In addition to running the WWF.
Right. Well, he's obviously like a genius as
a businessman.
He really
is. He really is.
Like, yeah, and he's the greatest... He's honestly probably like the greatest promoter who's ever lived, right? He's like, fuck Don King.
Yep.
Right? He's better... When's the last time you heard of Don King, right? What's his stock worth?
Right.
I mean, he's like Barnum and Bailey level, but even... They were fucking douchebags too.
He might actually be the hardest working man of all time. The work that he's put into himself.
He might be.
To make the product what it was with him as a commentator or a wrestler, what have you.
Yeah.
And then to be able to sink that same amount of energy into his company to move it forward.
Right.
In addition to making himself a better person in front of the camera and behind it. Dude, he's the hardest worker.
Well, and look at the schedule even besides like the time he spends in Titan Tower, right? So he's at... The pay-per-view on Sunday. He's at Raw Monday.
Yep.
From what I've heard, he's at SmackDown sometimes. But think about like being on the road even twice a week.
Yeah.
For coming up on 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his 70s, right?
Yeah, he's in his 70s and he's still on TV regularly.
Yeah,
also,
he's going hard.
Also, he's starting a football league again.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not just WWE moving forward. Now he's got the XFL to worry about again.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. The hardest working man in the world.
Who's ever lived.
Who's ever lived.
Yeah. Should we blow him if we ever meet him then after this?
It might be appropriate. Adam, right? That's going to be your job. Ed and I'll watch and take pictures.
Yeah, we just did it kind of like metaphorically.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been the Kiss My Ass Club.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, this is true. You're going to join the Kiss My Dick Club.
Yeah, this is the Fillet My Dick Club.
Dear God.
Okay, well, I think that kind of covers the Mount Rushmores.
We all kind of came at it from a different angle, and right. I like that because it just goes back to what you were saying, that it just seems there's a lot of Mount Rushmores out there, and maybe there should be one. But these are fun because if I was going to do one for High Flyers or Best Wrestlers, like it would take a different shape. So
what if Vince bought the actual Mount Rushmore and recarved it into a wrestling Mount Rushmore?
Or he
his
could put,
family.
Like, do you think he has the money for that? I mean, that Mount Rushmore can't be worth more than $1 billion, right?
Well, he could just build his own.
Should we do a Kickstarter?
Let's get the listeners involved. If you want us to start a Kickstarter for Vince to overwrite Mount Rushmore with maybe even four faces of Vince McMahon from the different eras,
yes.
Like the 70s, the 80s, 90s.
There you go.
Yeah, four faces.
Ooh, that's
of Vince.
A good one.
Four Vince McMahons.
Four Vinces or four McMahons up there.
Mount Evil.
Yeah, yeah, one of them with the big Vince dick.
Yeah, to slap Byron Saxton around with.
Yeah. Yeah, Byron Saxton will be at the foot of the mountain.
One Vince on there with a big bedpan.
Right up
there. I love it.
All right. I think that'll do it, eh?
All right. So those were our Mount Rushmores. What are your Mount Rushmores? How would you build them? And something tells me that I'm very sure all of you awesome artists out there may actually give us some visuals on your Mount Rushmore. We would be so, so happy to see them. So,
and we have 600 Twitter followers. We would retweet that too.
That's
correct. Oh, yes, we definitely would.
Hella legit.
Said retweets can be taken on from wrestling_drunk. And then on any of the platforms where you download this episode, we want those reviews. We want those ratings. So we can make sure that this awesome wrestling adventure that we have continues to go. And we'll be happy to entertain you all with many drinks and many more stories to come. So with Eddie and Scott, my name is Adam. Just want to remind you all to watch wrestling responsibly. Enjoy your buzz and drink like nobody is watching. One, two, three. Mount Rushmore!
Cheers.